Luke chapter 5, Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Blessed Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day you've blessed us with, Lord. I thank you, God, for this time we have to come together to worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this place on the hillside, Lord, to be able to come and gather together with our family, Lord. I thank you, God, that you've made me a part of this blessed family, Lord. And God, you've made us brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, by your precious blood, Lord. I thank you, God, for that day you saved my wretched soul, Lord, from myself. Lord, you saved me from hell. Lord, you saved me from the condemnation of sin. Lord, I thank you, God, for that. And I praise and bless your holy name. I pray you'd bless every teacher this morning. Lord, help us, God, to be faithful to you. Lord, I pray you'd fill us and thrill us with the Holy Spirit, God. Use us, God, today for your glory, your honor. Lord, to be lifted up in this place today, Lord, I pray. Pray you'd help every heart, Lord, minister to every need, Lord, in this place, and every family and every individual. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Verse number 1, "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God." And I want to bring this thought to you this morning. A pressing need in perilous times. A pressing need in perilous times. Now, we know that you this morning, Lord, help us, God, to be faithful to you. Lord, I pray you'd fill us and thrill us with the Holy Spirit, God. Use us, God, today for your glory, your honor. Lord, be lifted up in this place today, Lord, I pray. Pray you'd help every heart, Lord, minister to every need, Lord, in this place, and every family and every individual. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Verse number 1, "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear in perilous times." A pressing need in perilous times. Now, we know that we're living in perilous times. As 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." That word perilous means dangerous. We're living in dangerous times, folks. We're living in a time when it seems like that sin is rampant, and it is. Sin is rampant. It's on every hand. Everywhere you look, it's sin. Sin here, sin there. These things are taking place in the day and time we're living. We're living in a perilous time. Now, notice that it said in this text here that they pressed upon him. The people pressed upon the Lord to hear the word of God. They pressed upon him. The word "press" there means to exert influence on, to constrain, to try hard to persuade or beseech. In other words, they really came to the Lord. They weren't just following him just out of a whim or out of a, you know, just because it was the thing to do in that day and time. But they had a need. They pressed, or they constrained the Lord to hear the word of God. Now listen now to the definition of hear. They said they wanted to hear the word of God. Listen to the definition of hear. Hear means to perceive by the ear. That word "perceive" means to understand. To perceive by the ear, to listen with careful attention. Did y'all hear that? Did you hear that? To listen with careful attention. Now, I'm afraid a lot of times today, we don't really hear. According to the definition of the word hear. Oh, we say we hear. Well, I'm listening or whatever. Has your wife ever told you to do something and you said, "Oh yeah, I'll get right to that"? Some of y'all are laughing. I can tell by that you've been where I'm about to tell you where we're going. You're not really hearing. She said she wanted you to do something, but you didn't really hear what she said. Well, I mean, it's the same thing when we have the Word of God preached to us, we have the Word of God taught to us. Do we really hear? Now, and again, understand now, what's our attitude about hearing the Word of God? Do we come in with the attitude that we want to press upon our pastor to hear the Word of God? Give us the Word. Give us the Word. Give us the Word. Is that our attitude? "As the deer panteth for the water brook, so our soul longeth there." Is that our attitude? Is that our attitude that we're coming in seeking? We want to hear the Word of God. And not just hear it in the sense of letting it go in one ear and go out the other. That's how we hear a lot of times. That's how we listen. we listen in that way. It didn't really settle in. It didn't get to where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. It didn't get down to where we live. That's what we need, though. We need the Word of God to get down to where we live. And we need to apply it to our lives. Hear the Word of God. A pressing need in perilous times. First of all, we need leaving hearing. Well, what are you talking about? Well, you need to leave your indifference, first of all, indifference. Luke chapter 10, look there. Luke chapter 10, leave your indifference. Luke chapter 10, very familiar text. Luke chapter 10, verse number 30. The Bible says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, who came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and took him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host, and said to him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? He said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. We need to leave our indifference, our unconcern. You see, in this text, we find that priest that came that way, and he was unconcerned. He saw the man that had need, and he passed by him. He said, that ain't got nothing to do with me. How many people do we pass by on our daily journey of this life that we say, well, that don't really concern me? I wonder how many people God's put in our paths to be a blessing to minister to, that we've turned our back on, or maybe we've seen them and we've turned our head and we looked the other way. I wonder how many. We need to leave our indifference. That's what the Word of God's telling us here. Not only did that priest look the other way, but that Levite did also. The Levite looked the other way too. He saw him. He saw the man that had need. How many people do we see have need and we turn the other cheek, turn and look away from them? In James chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? In other words, what James is saying there is you're not concerned. You can say, depart, be ye warmed and filled, but you're not doing anything to help them be warmed and filled. God, see, the Lord's not here in person. He's here in the power of the Holy Ghost living through us. He's going to use us to be His hand, to be His minister in this world. He's going to use us to minister to those that are hurting in this world. So we need to leave our indifference. We need to leave our indifference and start getting concerned about folks. Leave our indifference. Not only do we need to leave our indifference, we need to leave our inactiveness. Hallelujah. That inactive word means to be idle, or idleness, or our laziness. Anybody lazy around here? Anybody admit they're lazy around here? Oh, me. James chapter 1. Let's look there in James chapter 1. We need to leave our inactiveness. Look in Matthew chapter 20. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 20. Look there in Matthew 20. We need to leave our inactiveness. Matthew chapter 20. The Bible says here, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them in his vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Why are you standing around doing nothing? Christian, why are we standing around doing nothing when the harvest is white? I mean, it's ready. The harvest is ready. It's white in the harvest. And we need to be ready, and we need to be willing to go and to do what the Lord would have us to do. Verse 7 says, they say unto him, because no man had hired us, he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Why? We need to leave our inactiveness. Stop being so lazy and stop saying, well, there's nothing for me to do There's plenty for you to do if you just get at it. You just got to say, Lord, show me what I need to do in the vineyard. Give me a work to do and let me get at it. Because, folks, the time is nigh at hand. Our time is short. You know, I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking about how that I'm 40 years old now, and I know some of you that may sound old to some of you, and some of you may sound young. But you think about it, about the Bible, what the Bible talks about 70 years being kind of the time of life, and if you get more, then that's great. But I thought about, well, that means that maybe I've got 30 more years, possibly. I mean, that's not a guarantee. But you think about how short a time that seems. If you really sit down and think about it, how short a time that seems. Folks, we don't know what tomorrow holds. Now, I could go tomorrow, you could go tomorrow. But we need to be active about the Lord's business. We need to leave our inactiveness. We need to leave our idleness and our laziness. John chapter 4, let's look there right quickly. John 4, leave our laziness, leave our inactiveness, and get busy in the work of the Lord. In John chapter 4, look here, John chapter 4, leave our inactiveness. John chapter 4, and verse number 34, the Bible says, verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. He said, and herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, you are entered into their labors. We need to leave our inactiveness. Get busy. Get busy. Leave your indifference. Leave your inactiveness. But not only that, we need to leave our inconsistency. Now we turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You need to leave our inconsistency. Our wavering. Are you wavering in the work of the Lord? Are you wavering even in your church attendance? I wonder. Are you wavering? Are you consistent? James chapter 1, let's look there. In James chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We need to be consistent. We need to leave this inconsistency, this wavering business, and decide what side of the fence you're going to be on. Get on one side of the fence and don't straddle the fence and say, well, I'll do this time and I'll do this. I don't know if I'll come to church today because, you know, I really got a headache and I don't really feel that good and my sinus is bothering me or whatever. Get in this thing. You can come to church and have a headache just like you can sit at home and have a headache. Amen. All right. Inconsistency. We need to leave our inconsistency. Look in Joshua chapter 24. Boy, I like this text right here now. Look in Joshua chapter 24. Leave our inconsistency. He said there, he told us in James, he said, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord, he that wavereth. In Joshua chapter 24, I like what Joshua had to say here, very familiar text to Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, be consistent. Don't waver. Stop you wavering. Don't serve this God one day and the true God the next day. You can't do it. Truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, be consistent. Don't waver. Stop you wavering. Don't serve this God one day and the true God the next day. You can't do it. You can't serve two gods. Can't serve God and mammon. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to be consistent. We need to leave our inconsistency. So we need to have that consistency about us. Leaving hearing, we need to leave our indifference, our inactiveness, and our inconsistency. Not only do we need to have leaving hearing, but we need to have learning hearing. I can't serve God and mammon. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to be consistent. We need to leave our inconsistency. So we need to have that consistency about us. Leaving hearing, we need to leave our indifference, our inactiveness, and our inconsistency. Not only do we need to have leaving hearing, but we need to have learning hearing. What do we need to learn? Well, first of all, we need to learn to fear. Look in Psalms chapter 19. Psalms 19. We need to learn to fear. Psalms chapter 19. We need to learn to fear. We need some learning hearing. Psalms chapter 19. The Bible says, truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, be consistent. Don't waver. Stop you wavering. Don't serve this God one day and the true God the next day. You can't do it. You can't serve two gods. Can't serve God and mammon. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to be consistent. We need to leave our inconsistency. So we need to have that consistency about us. Leaving hearing, we need to leave our indifference, our inactiveness, and our inconsistency about us. Leaving hearing, we need to leave our indifference, our inactiveness, and our inconsistency. Not only do we need to have leaving hearing, but we need to have learning hearing. What do we need to learn? Well, first of all, we need to learn to fear. Look in Psalms chapter 19. Psalms 19. We need to learn to fear. Psalms chapter 19. We need to learn to fear. We need some learning hearing. Psalms chapter 19. The Bible says, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. He said, the fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. We need to learn to fear. Fear the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about fear as far as terror, but having a reverential awe of Him. Having enough to me to put me in a place like this and to use me the way He has. I thank Him for that and I praise Him for it. We all ought to have that attitude. We ought to have that attitude that we appreciate what He's done and how He's been merciful and gracious to us. But we have that fear of the Lord. And Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you want to know something about God, you need to learn to fear. Fear Him. That reverential awe of Him. Listen, He's got your breath in His hands. He's got your breath in His hands. He's got your heartbeat in His hands. Learn to fear God. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You want to be wise? You say, well, I sure do want to be wise. I want to be wise in every decision I make. Ephesians 5. We need to learn to follow Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We need to learn to follow God. He said there in verse 2, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You see, He's given us the example. We just need to learn to follow that example. We've got his example right here in this book. I wonder how many times we neglect righteousness, faith, charity, that's love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He said, that's what you follow. And you see, Christ is already, he's the example of all that. I mean, all those things, righteousness, faith, love, peace, all those things were encompassed in Christ. So if you want to know about him, learn to follow. We need to learn to follow. Not only do we need to learn to fear and follow, we need to learn to forgive. We need to learn to forgive. Matthew chapter 18. Look in Matthew 18. We need to learn to forgive. God, help us. Lord, help us. We need to learn to forgive. I'm convinced that folks that don't forgive others, they have no fellowship with God whatsoever. I mean, you cannot use this Word of God and pull the Scripture out of this Word of God that tells me that you have fellowship with God if you have not forgiven someone that's done you wrong. It's just not there. There's a life. They're still bitter over something that happened 50 years before that. Just dumb. I mean, that's just the way it is, folks. I'm just being honest with you. It's just stupid and dumb. I mean, why are you going to hold on to something like that? And here you have been consumed all your life over some stupid thing. Why don't you get over it and just go on? Go on. Just grow up. Grow up and go on.